This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. It is cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. The news is still filled with the earthquake and tsunami in Southeast Asia. And the news channels are filled with panels of different religious experts and other people, even including atheists, trying to figure out why that happened and why so many thousands of people died. And even Kofi Annan, he was absolutely startled when he took an aerial survey of a great portion of what happened in Indonesia and Thailand, that whole villages were wiped out. And yet, as I pointed out last time, that is nothing compared to what happened when the fountains of the deep broke up and the flood came upon the world. You know, there must have been tsunami waves, wave after wave, hundreds of feet high. And the whole earth was affected. And so the reason people can't figure out why these things take place is because they do not, number one, understand God, and the religious experts, so-called, do not know God. The Buddhists don't, the Hindus don't, the Catholics don't, the Protestants only have a partial understanding, and so they don't know why these things happen. But we need to realize, and we're going to see, of all the so-called gods in the world, the true God is the only one who takes credit for it. Allah didn't take credit for it. The atheists don't understand about it. The Hindus are perplexed because they have 38,000 gods, and they couldn't tell you which one of them did it, if he did it, you see. And the Catholics, they're in a complete fog. The Protestants have some partial understanding, but they get so maudlin and bogged down by John 3:16, that God so loved the world, and they can't explain why a God of love would do this if he's a God of love. And that shows that they don't understand it. Now, lest we get all exalted and think, well, you know, we know all the answers, let me just tell you this very plainly. The full truth of the Bible is available to anyone who will repent and come to God and let God teach him. The things that we're going to cover in this one, which will be disasters number two. Why does God cause? God does not allow. Let's get rid of that. God causes. And since the wages of sin is death, and sin, as we saw last time, affects the environment, God causes it in relationship to human behavior. And he also does it from the point of view that we need to understand this. God has the power to resurrect back to life. And so it's not like the atheist said on one of these panels that this disaster come along and you have an impotent God who did nothing about the death of children or nothing about the death of other of the rest of the people. Just an impotent God. And one of the other panelists, the woman, said to this woman atheist, well, if you don't believe in God, then you must be very empty. Then in times of trouble and difficulty, you don't know where to go and you have no answer. And I guess that pretty well caught the atheist by surprise. Okay. Now, everyone wants the blessings of God, regardless of how they live. But it doesn't come that way. So let's go to Deuteronomy 28, and we can see here how we could have a better world, or we could put it another way, how we could have as perfect a world as possible. Now, everyone wants these blessings, but we're going to see very few are willing to do what God says. We can analyze this. Deuteronomy 28. Now, we've been there before. This is very basic, but with these disasters that are coming, we're dealing with very basic things. Now, first of all, we need to understand before we begin reading in Deuteronomy 28, because this is what everyone wants. They want everything easy. They want it both nice. They don't want any disasters. They don't want any accidents. They don't want premature deaths. And yet they're not willing to do what God commands them to do to receive it. And as we covered last time, the true God, the God of the Bible, sets before every human being, as we saw, the choice of life and death, blessing and cursing. And he made it very, very clear that the way the blessings come is through loving God and keeping his commandments. Now let's see a few more details here before we get into the utter power of God and his destructiveness, which he will bring upon this world because of sin. And as we pointed out last time, the reason that these things come along is that so people will understand that God is God and he means business. And if he's God and if he's sovereign, which he is, then God must show his sovereign power to a sinful mankind in hopes that they would repent. He's not going to force them to repent. Well, let's begin right here. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 28. And wouldn't this be something if every national constitution in the world had this as the way to run a society? Just think of it. And it shall come to pass if. So the condition is upon human beings. Human beings, as we'll see later, judge God and put the condition upon him. Well, if God is all-powerful, why didn't he stop it? That's not the right question. Since God is all-powerful, why did he do it and take credit for it? And not one other God of any of the so-called gods of the world took credit for it. Because the true God did it. So here's the if. Now notice what the if is. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to do what God says in order to receive these blessings? Or do you demand these blessings regardless of your behavior? So are you willing to take the challenge of this if? Let's see. If you shall hearken diligently, that doesn't mean part-time. That doesn't mean once a week on the false day of worship, Sunday. Or as Muslims have on Friday. Or as Hindus have, 30,000 gods in any day will do and any kind of worship is acceptable. And you see, those countries where they have the false gods are a testimony by the true God of the poverty and sin that is generated in these societies. That's why India is poor and one of the poorest nations on earth, the most idolatrous of any nation in the world through Hinduism. Now notice, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. Now the children of Israel at this time, they did hear the voice of God, didn't they? But what did they say? Oh, don't let us hear the voice of God lest we die. Now Moses, we'll listen to you. You go up on the mountain and you talk to God, and then you tell us what God says, and then we'll do it, which they never did. So what God has done, he has recorded what he would speak to you or any other person or any other nation in his word. So there it is, the voice of God, recorded in print. These are his words, aren't they? And how many times does it say, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say. So Moses faithfully transmitted all the words of God, faithfully wrote all the words of God, and so here is God's requirement. The voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all his commandments. Now stop and think. Do people do all the commandments of God? We'll just take the Ten Commandments. How many have the true God? Or do they have other gods before God? Most of the world has other gods before God. As a matter of fact, the majority of the entire world, even the Christian professing world, has other gods before the true God. And how about idols? Not making any graven image of any likeness of any kind that's in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth, and don't bow down to them. Let's just take, for example, all of Catholicism and Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism, and let's see if they will all be willing to rise up en masse and go destroy every idol. Every string of prayer beads, every cross, every statue. And for the Buddhist in Tibet, every prayer wheel. Why, you'd have a riot on your hands. You would be killed. Yet they want the blessings of God. Yet when the punishments of God come, they say, oh, why did God do this? Well, the reason is, number one, they don't know God. Number two, they don't know the Word of God. And number three, they deny the power of God. And number four, they deny the sovereignty of God, that he has the power to bless or punish. And these things also happen automatically. Now then we take the third commandment, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And ministers are the ones who do this worse than anybody else. The poor man on the street or the golf course or the football field that's cursing, he's not as liable before God as the ministers who stand up in the pulpit and say God says that he'd ever said. That's the most vain way to take the name of God. In sanctimonious, human, satanic, apparent goodness, and say it comes from God. But that's what God spoke from Mount Sinai, isn't it? Yes, it is. Then the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, and you run into any one of these so-called Christian-keeping, Sunday-keeping churches, and you tell them that they're sinning by keeping the Sabbath, and they will string you up right at the door, or run you out, and tell you that you know, you're trying to earn salvation. See, all this shows people don't know God. Now, if you don't think that Sunday keeping is a sin before God, well, then you do a study in the Bible. I challenge you to do this. You keep the Sabbath every week for 6 weeks in your home. Study about the Sabbath day for those 6 weeks. And then read online, we have it online, Rome's Challenge to the Protestants. And if you still believe that Sunday keeping is the will of God, nothing can get through to you. And so don't expect the blessings of God. And then you go on, what is the next one? You shall not murder. And how many people are murdered every single day around the world? And then the next one, you shall not commit adultery. More than half the population of the world commits adultery. And now they found out with this disaster that one of the unspoken hideous sins that they have in Thailand and Cambodia and those Indonesia and those eastern, southeastern Asian countries is pedophilia. Selling children at 3 years old to be literally abused for years and years by sex maniacs. You know, it's very interesting. One of the mullahs for Islam said, God sent this to punish all those people, especially the Westerners who come to the beaches and are out there naked and committing fornication and all of that. Now, there may be a point to that. But God also wiped out how many of the Muslims right in the center of some of the most, the hotbed of militant Islam that seeks to kill everybody if they won't convert to Islam. And some people say it's time and chance. Well, let's do this. Let's give God credit and say that maybe all of those were true. And for the rest of us to understand the awesome power of God and the very shortness of our lives, that people can die so quickly, so swiftly, that we need to repent. So let's get the big picture of everything here, you see. Let's not just pick on one person or one religion. Let's do this. Let's look at the whole human race and evaluate it by the words of God so that we can have some understanding. Any other evaluation would not be good or true or give us any understanding whatsoever. Just like all these panels on the news channels. You have your opinion, you have your opinion, you have your opinion, and we're in postmodernist thinking that since you believe it, it must be true because I'm so great and good. No. Anyone can understand the Word of God if they will do what God says. It's that simple. Okay? Now notice, let's go on. Haven't even gotten out of verse 1 yet. Okay? Then after that, after you shall not commit adultery, what's the next one? You shall not steal. And guess what's going to happen to all a great portion of this relief aid? It's going to be stolen by the ones who don't need it for their own profit and their own benefit because they're liars and cheats and thieves. They don't care if their fellow countrymen die, just that they get rich. They don't care who gets the food, just as long as they can get it and sell it on the black market. And to give it to the United Nations, which 80% of what goes out from UNICEF goes for administrative costs. That's why God says it's corrupt from the head to the foot. The whole world, there's no soundness in it. And if you think that this was an awesome thing, add up all the disasters that have happened around the world for the whole year. Get out your world almanac and look at it. And as you're looking at it and looking at the disasters and all the deaths and all the things that happened, ask the question, how many people are obeying God? And your answer is going to be an infinitesimal few. And you can be thankful for them because God holds back His real powerful hand of judgment for the sake of those few who love God and who keep His commandments and who believe Jesus Christ and who live by every word of God. Okay? Now let's go on. Then you have bearing false witness and coveting and so forth. Finish off the Ten Commandments. To do all His commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Everyone wants that, don't they? Yes, they do. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. See, because if you love God and keep His commandments, and that's part of the second commandment too, you see, then these blessings will come upon you and they will overtake you. Notice, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, do you believe God? Do you believe Jesus Christ? Do you believe the words of God? Now you have to, because all the words and commandments of God are effective in everyone's life all the time, everywhere in the world, whether they know the Word of God or not. Let's ask a question. We'll just take this for example because everyone can understand this. Why do you suppose that HIV and AIDS is such a virulent sexually transmitted disease? Because people are committing all kinds of sexual activity that brings it on. Not only adultery, homosexuality, perversion, pedophile. Now, that is God's punishment active taking place for sin. God doesn't have to come down here and do anything. He, through His laws and creation, has set in motion that those who violate the use of sex by saying they could have it with anyone, anywhere, with anything, and any animal, whatever you want to do, and then say, oh, we have this disease. You do not have that in lifetime husband and wife relations. Never a recorded case. Now, do you think that everyone would be willing to put away adultery and homosexuality and bestiality and pedophilia? Do you really? Of course not. Then expect God's judgment. And that is God's judgment. Now, one nation, Uganda, is the only nation that took God's word and the warning against AIDS seriously. And they went on a nationwide campaign that's been going on for 5 years now because AIDS was ravaging the population. And the campaign was this: no sex outside of marriage. They didn't pass out AIDS medicine. They didn't pass out condoms. They didn't do any of these so-called things to prevent it. And guess what happened? The AIDS and HIV epidemic went down from about 15%, and I think it's down to 2% of the population now. And if they continue on it, guess what? All sexually transmitted diseases will cease. No medication, no expense, no cost to anyone except to obey the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Now, we have to understand this. Since God has given those laws, He must judge when there is sin. We also need to understand that when there is repentance because of the severity of the penalty coming upon those who commit such things, there can be forgiveness. Never forget that. But what we need to do is understand what God does because of sin. Otherwise, you will never, 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 never understand why these disasters and things take place. And speaking of sin, of adultery, never forget the lesson of Sodom and Gomorrah. God gave that as a perpetual lesson to all who would do like they did. Now let's go on. If, there it is again. Now there, if you obey God, hearken diligently to His voice, all these blessings shall come upon you. Blessed shall you be in the city. How many places in the city would you not go because it's filled with gangs and crime and you may lose your life? Just in Salinas, one of the big shopping centers, just south of us, there was a shootout in the big Northridge Mall. And two gang members were killed, and three innocent bystanders were wounded. Cursed in the city. We'll read that a little later. Blessed shall you be in the field. And how many problems do we have with crops, which we think we're going to solve with genetic engineering? No, that won't work. Because genetic engineering is going to end up bringing mammoth curses in the long run. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. People don't want deformed children, do they? And I'll have to say this. The organization of doctors that go around the world and repair cleft palate children are doing a magnificent job in helping those children and adults have some decency in their lives. But you know, there would not be one deformed child. There would not be one cleft palate child. There would not be one hydrocephalic child. Or all of the pitiful things that you would see if you had the guts to tour an institution where they house them because no one wants them. Oh, but no. They want to go commit adultery, don't they, and fornication, and then have everything come out all right. You know why there's so much in vitro fertilization today? Because of fornication and sterility because of sexually transmitted diseases. That's why. See, people don't want their lifestyle interrupted. Well, God will interrupt it. Take all the medication you want. God's judgment is upon you. God's judgment is in your body and in your mind. And it is a proven fact. The reason God says you shall not commit adultery is because the very first sexual encounter of a person is burned in their minds forever. And I challenge you to think back, and you will remember, maybe not the exact date, but you will remember the place and the person and the circumstances where your first sexual encounter happened, regardless of whatever age it was. And it is there permanently. That's why God says, only in marriage. You see, people underestimate the power of God, and they underestimate the authority of God, and they do not understand the automatic penalty for sin. It comes. Now notice, oh, but they want to be blessed in the field, blessed in the fruit of the body, blessed in the ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket in store. Blessed shall you be when you go in and when you come out. And the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. Sounds a little different than the war on terror, doesn't it? And you can guarantee the war on terror in the world is part of God's punishment for the world for their sins. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and all that you set your hand unto. And he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And did not God give the land to every tribe and nation in the world? Yes. Genesis 10. He determined the bounds of the nations. And the Lord your God shall establish you as a holy people unto himself. Now that is those who enter into covenant with God according to God's terms and conditions of the covenant. And now it is the covenant through Jesus Christ. As he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. But now what's happened to us? We're afraid of them. And now we're making our nation to protect us because we don't trust in God, but we trust in ourselves, and we trust in our munitions, and we trust in our weapons, and we trust in our technology. We are making us such a hyper-police state for total control. All of that's, none of that's necessary if you love God and keep his commandments. Now notice, and the Lord shall make you plenteous in good. Goods we have today are by cheating and lying. We have money in the economy that is based upon a lie, and it's going to collapse. And in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, and the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers to give you. And the Lord shall open unto you the good treasure, the heaven, to give you rain in your land in its season. And bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. Look what's happened to America because we have violated all these commandments. And yet we say, we're a Christian nation. No, we're not. You claim the name of Christ, but you believe in a perverted, satanic, ungodly grace. That's what's wrong with us. What's wrong with America is sin and permission to sin caused by the religious leaders of the nation. We wonder where God is. So we kick them out of the school, kick them out of the homes. Can't even tell children in school, think about the fact that there's intelligent design. No, they go to court over it. God's going to make his presence known. I'll guarantee you one thing. There will not be any ACLU or any atheist organizations in the kingdom of God. period. They won't exist. Now let's go on. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if. Now let's see. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 ifs. Conditions. Set by God. And in order to give our perspective and to understand who God is and what He's doing, we need to understand this. Since God is Creator, which He is, He, and He alone, sets the terms and conditions. Since man is His creation, man does not march up to God and demand of Him and set the terms and conditions. And that's another thing that is wrong with Protestantism. You cannot appropriate Christ. You cannot have Christ come into your heart unless God personally calls you. That's telling God what to do. No man is going to command God, period. And that's all of understanding and knowing who God is. You'll never understand these disasters. You'll never understand the things that are going to be coming on the earth unless you understand who God is and that He is sovereign, that He has absolute power, absolute control. And He will punish for sin on an individual basis, on a collective basis, on a national basis, and on a world basis. And all that will lead up to the return of Jesus Christ. So there it is. Four ifs. If you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, verse 13, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And of course, that's for their good. What did God say? I gave these to you for your good. And what do the religious leaders say? Oh, that's a harsh God, and He gave it to you to curse you. Do you believe the lies of religious leaders, or do you believe the truth of God? He gave these to you for your good. Is it not good to know the true God? Is it not good to be able to worship God without having idols and statues? Is it not good to not take the name of the Lord your God in vain? Is it not good to keep the Sabbath day of God where He will fellowship with you, with His Spirit and with His Word, so you know Him and know where you are and what God is doing? Is that not good? Is it not good to honor father and mother? Is it not good to have a society where there is not adultery, where there is not murder, where there is not lying, where there is not cheating, where there is not all of these things that go on, and coveting? Yes, that is good. But people don't want to be bothered with it. So there's some other ifs that come along. And as we read this, I want you to evaluate your life, your country, your city, your town, your own household, your own children, because God is. Now, verse 14. You shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left hand, to go after other gods to serve them. See, because there's one God, God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And all the others are inventions and fictions of men because they have rejected God, yet they want to appear good and religious. Can't have it both ways. One way only. Now, verse 15. But it shall come to pass if, there it is, number 5, you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all His commandments and statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and shall overtake you. But before we read that, let's go to Romans 3 and let's see something here. Let's see something very profound, very important that we need to understand. As I've said before, God's judgment is on all people, everywhere, at all times, through the power of His laws, which operate more powerfully than the laws of gravity. Romans, the 3rd chapter. Now let's see how God views the world, because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Many of you have already heard that. But let's see how God views the world. And is this not an accurate description of the world today? And if you go back and see world history continuously from the onset of human history. Now let's pick it up here in verse 9. Romans 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we of ourselves better? That is because you know God. He's talking about the Jews in that particular case. Not at all. For we have already charged both Jews and Gentiles all with being under sin. And we're going to see that's what's wrong with the whole world today. Oh, they have their religions which appear good. Oh, they have their philosophies and platitudes which sound nice. But they're still under sin. Because, you see, they're eating off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they can't understand that the good which comes off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not the good which comes from God. Now, let's continue here, verse 10. Exactly as it is written, for there is not a righteous one, not even one. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need the true God. Has anyone ever been able to totally straighten out his life alone? No. Not at all. Verse 11. There is not one who understands. There is not one who seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. Together they have all become depraved. Isn't that a perfect description of this world? Yes, it is. There is not even one who is practicing kindness. Well, we see a little kindness in helping the tsunami victims, don't we? But what's going to happen with all of that aid and kindness given to them? It's going to be all destroyed because of continually living in sin. No, there's not so much as one. Their throats are like an open grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. The venom of asps is under their tongues, whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Now, what I'm reading is New Testament doctrine quoted from the Old Testament, right? So if you're listening to this and you say in your mind, well, all you're doing is reading the Old Testament. Well, you better read what Jesus said. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, didn't he? So that's perfectly fair game, if I could put it that way. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now then, verse 19, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, which is every human being in the world, so that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That's how God views the world. Because of this, then God must judge. And that's what we are facing today. Let's fast forward this tape and turn to the other side, please. As the scriptures have said, there's no fear of God before their eyes. And that's why God causes things like this to happen. Has not the whole world virtually stood still in its thinking? Why did this happen? Did God do it? If he did do it, why did he do it? And if there is no God, how did it happen? And why did it occur? God does this so the people are going to stop and think and fear God. That's why. Now, God does expect every one of the survivors to pitch in and help out those who are left. Of course he does. But as we will see, as time goes on, there will be more that will come out which we can say, yes, this is probably adding to the cause of it. But I think one of the major things is, has been brought up, the slave trade in little children for pedophilia activity. That has got to be a major judgment in it. Now, let's come back to the first part of Romans 3. Now, it talks about, beginning in verse 1, what then is the advantage of the Jew, or what profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Primarily in that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. And they were entrusted with the Old Testament. The church was entrusted with the New Testament. Okay? But let's expand this on beyond just a Jew-Gentile confrontation, as has been brought out here by Paul. Verse 3. But what if some did not believe? Now, isn't that true today? How many people have a Bible in their homes? How many have read them? And if they have read them, how many believe it? Well, looking at the world, hardly any. But what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? Now, we're reading back here in Deuteronomy 28 some of the faithfulness of God, are we not? The blessings that he promised, he would be faithful to bring them. Since God is the sovereign of the universe and has the power to do so, and created the earth and everything on it, and the human beings and every person that is here through the power of procreation, as he commanded man, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Because of what man does, that does not nullify the faithfulness of God. And remember this, the promises of God fall into two categories, blessings and cursings. People want to claim the blessings and not believe the cursings, so when the cursings come because they refuse to obey God, then they blame God. And they judge God. So what does Paul say? May it never be. Rather, let God be true, but every man a liar. Exactly as it is written, that you might be justified in your words and might overcome when you are judged by men. And isn't that exactly what is happening today with the opinions of human beings over this Southeast Asia earthquake and following tsunami and destruction and death? Yes. Is God overcoming all of their judgments against him? Of course. He's powerful. He's sovereign. He rules. He blesses. He curses. He judges. He penalizes. It's all part of the power of God. Verse 5, but if our unrighteousness brings to reality God's righteousness, the comparison of human behavior compared to God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous to inflict wrath? Paul says, I'm speaking according to a man's view. Well, they don't like that, do they? They judge God, don't they? God remains God. God is not going to change for any human being. God could care less what the opinions of human beings are. God could care less what their beliefs are unless they believe in Him and keep His laws and commandments and statutes and believe in Jesus Christ. God is going to judge you for it. Now notice, verse 6. That attitude, may it never be. Otherwise, how shall God judge the world? And as we saw last time, God judges the world and all nations all the time, doesn't He? Yes, He does. And that's how God does it. Now, before we come back to Deuteronomy 28, let's come to Leviticus 18. Powerful instruction. You see, let's understand this. One of the most powerful blessings or curses that is built into every human being is sex. And there is a godly way and there is a satanic way. Godly way. Let's read a few verses here in first part of Leviticus 18. And again, we will see how profoundly important that this is. And as I read it, what I want you to do is I want you to judge your own life, and I want you to judge your own city and your own town and your own state and your own country in which you are living. And ask yourself this question. Is God judging us now? And I think you'll find out, yes, indeed. Verse 1, Leviticus 18. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. God is God. We're going to see how powerful He is here in a little bit. And by the time we're done with this series on disasters, you're going to understand that this earthquake and the tsunami tragedy over there in Southeast Asia is not even a little tiny corner of sandbox. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein you dwelt, a lot of people say, well, why did God do to Egypt what He did? Because of their idols, because of their sins, and because of their sex sins. Wherein you dwelt, you shall not do. And after the doings in the land of Canaan, where I bring you, you shall not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances and walk therein. I am the Lord your God. That's by the authority of the Creator who made you. You therefore shall keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Then he gives all of the forbidden sex. Verse 6, no incest. And that's in verse 7 and 8. And that's one of the first places where the first sex experience occurs, isn't it? Within the families. Then he goes on down through all the rest of it. Adultery, fornication. And then he comes down here to verse 22. Now, this is the one that the gay so-called community should be called homosexual community, because that's what it is. There's nothing gay about their lifestyle. And what they bring upon themselves, they have more disease, more sickness, more mental and emotional breakdowns and suicide than any other proportionate population within any country. And that's all a penalty for what they do. Yet they don't like to be told that God says this is not right. Well, even if someone doesn't tell you it's not right, it's still not right, and you're going to suffer the penalty of it. Even if you were able to shut up every preacher and burn every Bible, the penalty is going to come, because God is God. You know, so don't get mad at me. And I'm not preaching hate. I'm preaching truth. And showing you a way out of that if you will only heed and take God's way and repent. But God says, you shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shall you lie with any beast to defile yourself therein, or therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Now notice this command, verse 24. And understand, as we learned last time, that sin affects the environment. And murder and sex sins affect the environment along with idolatry more than any other sin. Notice what God says. Verse 24. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. God judges, doesn't he? Just like we read in Romans 3. Yes, indeed. And the land itself vomits out her inhabitants. And it comes by the four plagues that we covered last time. Actually, five. False prophets, idolatry, and that brings famine and pestilence and war and wild beasts and drought and flood and catastrophe. Stop and think for just a minute. God raised up the whole empire of Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar for the sole purpose of invading Judea because of the sins of God's people. And also understand this. If you claim to follow God, know for sure, as God always promises, He judges His own first. And that's what He said of the Jews because of Nebuchadnezzar. And then He said, and after 70 years, I will visit Babylon and render my judgment upon them. But God raised him up for that very purpose. Did that happen? Is that a historical fact that Babylon invaded Judea and destroyed the first temple and carried the Jews away captive to Babylon? Is that not so? Yes, indeed. And the Creator of heaven and earth says, He did it. Now, it doesn't matter if you can go through history and think you can find other causes. The fact is, God did it. See? Because if you do these things, the land itself will vomit out her inhabitants. Verse 26, you therefore shall keep my statutes and my judgments, and you shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation, nor stranger that sojourns among you. So this is not only what people would call a religious law, but it becomes civil law. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew you not out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even that soul that commits them shall be cut off from among his people through penalty and disease and all of the consequences that come from it. Now therefore, you shall keep my ordinance that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves. I am the Lord your God. Isn't that pretty powerful? Yes, it is. Since God is God, and this is the one who became Jesus Christ, who spoke these words, by the way. And remember that Jesus said in the New Testament, the words that I speak shall judge you. Not just those he spoke when he was God manifested in the flesh, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, but also the words that he spoke here to the children of Israel, which has gone out to the whole world, correct? Now stop and think for a minute if you think that this is some preacher on some kind of diatribe. Number one, understand this. I have no political position. I have no religious position. My love and my loyalty is to the Word of God and God and Jesus Christ alone, which is the truth. And God commands His servants everywhere to preach the true Word of God. He does not give us a choice. When the land sins and the people sins, God says, stand up, cry aloud, and spare not. Don't worry about the politics of it, because God is God. So don't think that I am on a pedestal looking down and judging everyone. That's not true. I'm reading the Word of God. And I know and understand that the Word of God judges me as well as anybody else. And furthermore, those who know the Word of God know better, don't they? Yes, indeed. Yes. Comment was made that if the civil authorities would enforce these things in the land, God would not have to come down and bring His judgment. Because then the civil and religious authorities would be exercising the judgment of God the way that they are supposed to whom God gave authority to make those judgments and to give the penalties. See, but we are in a time where then there is a deviancy downward to the lowest level of perversion, so that you can have an all-inclusive perverted society, and it's a satanic deception, so that God will bring His judgment and destroy those people, because Satan knows that God, being righteous and knowing His judgment, will have no other alternative than to carry out and fulfill His word and will. But no, the atheists say separation of church and state. And they really don't mean separation of church and state. They mean the elimination of the knowledge of God and the acknowledgement of God in the world publicly. Now let's come back to Deuteronomy 28. And let's continue on where we left off, because now we're going to see that God means business. And we are going to see that if you are living in sin, you're not going to receive any blessings. Now please do not be deluded by the fact that there is pleasure in sin for a season. And please do not deceive yourself because you have gotten away with these sins and God's hand of judgment has not been heavy upon you yet, please do not think that it's not going to come, because it surely will. Just like you throw a rock up in the air, it's going to come back down. Now back here in Deuteronomy 28. Now as we read this, I want you to sort of put yourself in mind as if you were on a satellite above the earth, and you could look down on the earth like God looks down on the earth. And as the earth rotated beneath you, you could somehow see all of the nations and see all of the good and evil of all of them and see the righteousness and sin of all of them and see whether God's judgment is not upon them. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 28. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, I don't care how many policemen you have out there. You're not going to stop it. I don't care how many medical researches you have. You're never going to cure these incurable diseases. And on and on and on. Verse 16. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall be your field. Cursed shall be your basket and store. Look at the world. Starvation, famine, etc. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, and the increase of your kind, that's your cattle, and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Like it says in one prophecy, I think it's in the book of Amos. A man escapes a bear and runs into a house and exhausted leans on a wall and a serpent bites him. You just can't get away from it. It's the active judgment of God. Verse 20. Here is the best Medicare program of all. Have people keep the commandments of God, learn about the health laws, and you don't need all of these drugs which make you sick and cause you to die anyway, right? Okay? Because these come because of curses. Verse 20. And the Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand for to do. Now, all of those who suffered the four hurricanes in Florida can understand that. And the four typhoons that hit the Philippines. And Taiwan. And Japan. Nothing they did worked out right. Had one hurricane, started to clean up, repair, and here comes another one. Devastated by that. So they got out there and said, okay, well, we'll start cleaning up. Here comes a third one. And got out there and were laid low with a fourth one. And I marveled, how many other countries came in with foreign aid to help Florida? But you see, the ones down in Florida still didn't get it, did they? It's just like this here. Did it come? Yes. Until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings. That's why God always gives a message of repentance. Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to admit your sins? You think that God loves you? You don't come to God with your sins. You come to God repenting with tears and sincerity. And ask for forgiveness, you'll receive the forgiveness. But you also have to understand, you can't get up off your knees and dry your eyes and dry your tears and blow your nose and go your way and say that you have been forgiven so you can continue in the way that you are doing. That's why Jesus said to those that he forgave, go and sin no more, whether the sin is a transgression of the laws and commandments of God. All the repentance that you do, if you get up off your knees and start continue living your life the way that you have always led your life, and you don't keep the commandments of God, is vain and empty and foolish and will lead nowhere, and you will never find God. Whereby you have forsaken me. Now notice, verse 21. God's judgment gets real. It gets right down into the body, into your health. And the Lord shall make these pestilence cleave to you until he hath consumed you from off the land where you go to possess it. The Lord shall smite you with consumption, with fever, with an inflammation, with extreme burning, and with the sword. That's crime within the city, enemies coming within. And with blasting, that's wind, heat. And with mildew, rain and flood. And they shall pursue you until you perish. So it's going to get worse, is it not? Yes, indeed. And your heaven that is over you shall become brass, and the earth that is under you shall become iron. I want you to look at all of the countries of the world and think about why they're not able to feed their populations and why their land is cursed with heat and drought and famine because of sin and because of greed. Let's just use one nation, Zimbabwe, as an example. Before they kicked out the British, they had plantations and plenty, and they produced and exported hundreds of millions of tons of food. But when they got rid of the British and at least the superficial righteousness that they were able to teach the population, and the population was left on its own, so they would have the worst of dictators rise up, now, since they have destroyed the plantations, destroyed those who taught them the right way, they are in famine, and they have to import food. Because why? Their way of living brought those curses upon them. And that is God's judgment. So if nations like Zimbabwe want to have productive food and to have an exporting economy again, repent. Repent to God. Stop all of your arrogance and your dictatorship to rule over people and crush them, to make slaves of them, to degrade them. Teach them the way of God. Teach them how to have a proper society. God will bless you, just like he did Uganda in getting rid of, in reducing the AIDS epidemic. See, there's action that nations can take. There are actions that we can do. And look how much it cost us in dollars. Think of all the dollars that are wasted on disasters and health problems and death and disease and crime. No wonder that no one can balance the budget anymore. You'll never balance it unless you get rid of crime. You'll never balance it unless you teach people proper health. You know, look at all, we're speaking here of all of the health problems that come. We'll read this in just a minute. Have the drugs cured us? No, it's made us sick and killed us. Where are we as a nation? Where are you? Living in your nation, wherever it may be. Where are you as an individual before God? How do these things impact upon your life? God is asking you, what are you going to do about it? It's your responsibility to repent. Now let's continue. Verse 24. And the Lord shall make the rain of your land powder and dust, and the heaven, and from heaven shall it come down upon you until you be destroyed. And the Lord shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies. Now we have an enemy that is undefined. Now we have an enemy, the terrorist. It's not like going to war where you all have uniforms and you know who you are and who your enemy is and shooting and killing each other. And you're never going to get rid of that enemy unless you repent to God. And I'll guarantee you this, though they may have some victories against the war on terror, unless there is repentance, worse things are going to happen. Well, let's continue on. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth. Did that not happen in Judea during the days of Nebuchadnezzar in the 600 BCs? Did that not happen in Judea in 70 AD? Yes, it did. Is God's word true? Did he fulfill his promise? Remember what we have learned. Half of God's promises are blessings. Half of God's promises are cursing. Everyone wants to claim the blessings, but no one wants to obey God to avoid the cursings. So most people receive the promises of God in the form of cursings and then wonder why. Well, now you know. Verse 26, and your carcass shall be meat to all the fowl of the air. Isn't that what happened with the tsunami? And the fish of the sea? Yes, indeed. And unto the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Now verse 27. Here's the source of the health problems. And the Lord shall smite you with the botch of Egypt, with hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, wherewith you cannot be healed. Oh, but if someone came and told you, look, God says, don't eat unclean meat. Don't eat unclean fish. Oh, but I love my pork, and I love my shrimp and my lobster. I got to have my bacon in the morning. All right? Do it. God's judgment be upon you and your health. Let's go on. Are these things true? I mean, I'm amazed when you watch television, how many ads are on there because of some sickness or disease, because of some allergy or some itch, or athlete's foot. That's to say nothing of the serious diseases of cancer and tuberculosis, and now leprosy are starting to come in here in America. Okay? Now notice. And the Lord, verse 28, shall smite you with madness. Do we have mental illness? And blindness? And astonishment of heart? That's heart attacks. And you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in the dark. And isn't that the way we are? You watch any one of these newscasting things. You know, they really don't tell you the news. They give different opinions, you know, and you choose. No, none of them are willing to, you know. I don't think that if I ask permission to come on any of these national news channels and give me 1 hour to give this sermon, that I would last 2 seconds. They can't stand the truth. They can't lose their supporters. They can't lose the advertising dollar. They can't lose their religious backing. Or their atheist backing. So therefore it comes. And yet, when these things happen, they are just like the blind, groping. Wonder why it happened. Why did this occur? Oh, this is terrible. Yeah, if you tell them the true answer, what you're hearing here, they don't want to hear it. See? Let's go on. Let's continue here. And you shall not prosper in your ways. And you shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you. That's the ultimate end. And that will increase more and more. You shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, and you shall not dwell therein. You shall plant a vineyard, and you shall not gather the grapes thereof. And when the economic crash comes, that verse will be fulfilled to the nth degree everywhere in the United States. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes, and you shall not eat thereof. Your ass shall be taken violently away from before your face. These are all of the work animals we can say today, cars and tractors and these great, fantastic trucks and scoopers and things that they have for lifting, 70, 80 tons of dirt at one scoop. And all the mammoth equipment that we have shall be worthless. For example, what did the tsunami wave do to the main rail line there in Sri Lanka that runs right along the coast? Just took and twisted it up as if it was nothing. Okay, that's what will happen. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have none to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in your hand. Now, what is it that at least they have learned in this disaster? Human beings are indeed weak. Human beings are indeed subject to instant and violent death. And no man can prolong his life. The fruit of your land and all your labor shall a nation which you know not eat up. Hello, China. And you shall only be oppressed and crushed away. That is yet to happen. So shall you be mad for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. And the Lord shall smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of your head to the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Now let's come up here to verse 43. You can read the rest of it. All that sin affects the environment. See, we don't live in a vacuum. We do not live in an evolved world, and that's why God is bringing these things as judgment upon people, because they do not understand God, and this is the only way He can get their attention. The stranger that is within you shall get high above you, very high, and you shall come down very low. We see that being fulfilled before our very eyes in America, in Britain, in Europe. Europe is petrified because up to 20% of the population are Muslim immigrants. He shall lend to you and you shall not lend to him. Remember on the one I did on the coming economic tribulation? There was one day, September 8th, when none of the foreign nations showed up at the sale of U.S. Treasury securities. And everyone really got scared. And I think the foreigners were saying, we are tired of your cheap American dollars. Yet we can't get along without them, so they showed up the next week. But what that does, that puts them in the lender's position. And remember this, the borrower is always the slave of the lender, period. Automatic law. That's why in that sermon I said, get out of debt as much as you can. Verse 44, he shall lend to you and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed because, here's the cause of it. You can have all the government programs, all the private programs. You can have all the research in the world that you want to do for whatever cause or sickness or disease or crime or whatever it may be, and you will never discover the cause of it because you reject God and reject His commandments and do not believe Him nor obey His voice. Now notice, shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you to you be destroyed because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you. That's why these things take place. That's why they occur. Now we will end with Psalm 2. And ending with Psalm 2, we'll pick it up next time right at that point, because this is where we are in prophecy today. And this is why the judgments are going to come, and as Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24 and Luke 13, as we saw before, there are wars and rumors of war and famine and pestilence and disease, because this is what is happening in the world today. Verse 1, Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? They're raging against God. And all these other false religions, not that there is really a true religion because it's a way of life, but that's the only way to describe it, of these other religions and other people and atheists all together. They are raging against God, and the people imagine a vain thing. And what is the vainest thing that they imagine? Number one, that they can live in blessings by getting rid of God and sinning. Number two, that we can organize ourselves and have a world government which is going to solve all of the people's problems. And that's why we need the UN and a stronger UN. Imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. All of these alliances, all of these meetings, all of the things that they do together, you see, against the Lord. They are against God because they don't want His ways. You walk into the UN building and you go into their meditation room and it has every occult sign and religious sign of all of the religions of the world, and God is not there. It is an organization dedicated against God, out of whom and which will come the Antichrist, saying, let us break their bands asunder, let us cast their cords from us. In other words, get rid of God. You're not going to do that. How does God look at it? He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. And that's why these disasters happen around the world. Yet I've set my King upon my holy hill in Zion. Talking about Christ. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. And He is going to return of King as King and Lord of Lords and rule on this earth. And so any of the disasters that you look at now because of the sins of men affecting the whole world and everything that there is going to pale into insignificance of things that are going to take place when Jesus Christ returns. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. We're going to see when they fight against Christ. They're going to be broken with a rod of iron. And you shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Then he gives a little encouragement. Now that you've heard this, verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, all you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. There's a warning. Don't go on your own way. Well, we'll continue next time and we'll see why these things come upon the earth. and why these disasters will continue, and God's judgment is coming, and we're coming down to the return of Jesus Christ. And it's not going to be like people think. It is going to be awesome beyond belief, and the Word of God tells us.